On today's edition of Locked On Nets, Josh Bass breaks down the heartbreaking loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder and the trouble that lies ahead with the Nets schedule. Coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. I am your host, Josh Bass, going solo today. Unfortunately, Marcus and I's schedule is not in sync right now, much like the Nets basketball team, completely out of sync. But it's okay. He had yesterday's pod recapping the loss to the Magic and previewing the Thunder game. And now I'm here to provide the recap of that that previously mentioned Thunder game and provide some thoughts on the schedule and road ahead for the Nets. Not going to spoil anything on this podcast. It's going to be an uphill climb for the Nets over these next few games. And we'll talk about the Thunder game last night, how the Nets let slip out of their hands, and much more. Of course, subscribe to the podcast, Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We are there. Rate us, review us, let us know what you're thinking. So the Nets played the OKC Thunder last night, lost 111-103 in overtime. The Nets had a absolutely terrible performance in the overtime period, only scoring 2 points in those 5 minutes. Basically, everything in this game was abysmal. I think what everyone's talking about is they had the chance to win it late. Spencer Dinwiddie goes to the line for one after a dead ball foul, actually, with, 10 seconds left? When I think it was, who on the Thunder was it that made the foul? Schroeder just basically ran over someone setting the screen. Dinwiddie gets to go to the line, misses that free throw. The Nets obviously are still inbounding it, and they put the ball in Spencer Dinwiddie's hands. He's been their guy all season. And he had a floater but couldn't get it to go. It was a theme all last night. Dinwiddie, three-point shot was terrible, but really he needs a mid-range game. I think that's something that's become pretty clear. When he's getting to the basket, he's really thriving. But there are really good defensive teams out there that can cut that off, and you need to have some sort of mid-range game. And right now, Dinwiddie does not have that. His floater game's terrible, only shooting 29% from three on the season, which is god-awful as well. You know, the decision to let him take the free throw, I think that was the best one. He's a very good free throw shooter, 80% from the line this year, 80% for his career as well. I know he's been in a bit of a funk when it comes to free throw shooting, because I think he was at 85% a few weeks ago in the last 10 games, only shooting 73% at the line. But he's still been the Nets guy all season, and I think you have to let him take the free throw there, because it's not like the Nets have a J.J. Redick type waiting in the wings. You know, Joe Harris is surprisingly not a good free throw shooter, or as good a free throw shooter as he should be, considering how good he is at shooting threes in his overall game. But I think it's the right decision to go with Dinwiddie there. And then you could say, hey, should he have been the one taking the last shot also? You know, he had a terrible game. LeVert in his second game back, following the absence against Orlando and then playing against Toronto, he had a nice performance for the Nets, looked pretty good, finished with 20 points on 7 of 16 shooting. Should they have given him the ball? But, you know, like, is Caris LeVert the best one-on-one creator of all time? No. He had a play right before that where he basically drove into the lane and got completely swallowed up. So Dinwiddie, I get it. He had a terrible performance on the night, 6 of 21 from the field. But he's someone that can definitely create shots, and he's been very clutch for the Nets this season and in his career. So you have to go with him. I think put the ball in the hands of clearly your best player and let him make a play. Did it work out? No. But I think the process there was the right one. I think you still have to get Dinwiddie the ball. Obviously, he should have made that free throw, though. And LeVert didn't play in the overtime period. He ran up against his minutes limit, so didn't come in, but finished with 22 minutes on the night. I think you have to be encouraged by how he played. But overall, I mean, the Nets just didn't do enough to win. Whether it was missed free throws, turning the ball over frequently, I think in the first quarter in particular, I mean, they were turning the ball over constantly because their pick-and-roll passing and their interior passing was awful. I mean, just like completely errant passes that the bigs couldn't get. Either it was like away from them, at their feet. DeAndre Jordan threw the ball away a couple times, just sloppy miscommunications. And that's what's going to let a team like Oklahoma City, I mean, they're a good team, you know. They don't have Russell Westbrook anymore, but Paul has been amazing for them, you know. And he was deadly last night, just getting to that spot at the elbow, stepping back and knocking that shot down every time. And that's had no answer for him. He was far and away the best player in this game. And the guys that they had on their bench were doing damage, whether it was Abdel Nader, Hamidou Diallo, Bazley hit a couple threes, even though I know he was one of their starters last night. Like, they got it done. When you look at the Nets, besides a really red-hot start from Torian Prince to start the game, where he knocked down four threes in a row, he immediately cooled down. Wilson Chandler wasn't doing much. TLC had one nice drive, but besides that, wasn't making an impact. The Nets supporting guys just did not get it done. DeAndre, you know, look at his numbers, 8 points, 10 rebounds. I don't think he played particularly well. Jared Allen, he had kudos to Jared Allen because he had three insane, insane highlight plays, two dunks that were just awesome to watch, and I rewound those multiple times. And then one great block as well when he just met someone at the rim and completely stuffed them. But overall, would you say that he made a real big impact on this game? I wouldn't. I don't think he had that really tangible impact besides those highlight plays. The Nets were lucky to be in this game, I think, because when you look at their roster, it's not a super talented group. I mean, their bench right now, it's a bunch of journeymen, and then DeAndre Jordan, who has a lot of pedigree, and then I'm not including Karis in that because he's obviously just returning from injury. He's not a bench player. But like Kurucs has fallen out of favor. Prince is wildly inconsistent, and I would argue is to say just not good. And then you're counting on guys like Wilson Chandler and TLC who are – Wilson Chandler's washed. TLC hasn't proven anything in this league. So it's just not a team that is well-equipped to really be winning games against good teams like the Thunder, which is unfortunate, but that's the way it is right now, and that's what's going to lead to a seven-game losing streak because you don't have the depth. And at the top end, Spencer Dinwiddie's a really good player, but he's not a superstar in this league. He's probably somewhere between like the 30 to 35th best player around there, but he's not a guy that can consistently deliver end of game. You know, he's going to be susceptible to playing really good teams that can lock in, and other top point guards like Chris Paul and a Shea Gilgis. So it just wasn't a good matchup for the Nets. They continue to struggle. It is really unfortunate, but one thing that might cheer you up is MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it, or basketball in our case? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. You know, football playoffs are underway. NBA season is in the thick of the action. College basketball season is here also. It's time to get off the sidelines and get in on the action with MyBookie. Tired of watching the games from your couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So a couple miscellaneous items, our favorite segments. Was anyone else getting like huge Deontay Burton vibes from Julius Randle? Obviously not in terms of overall skill set, but like I think just the lefty shot and then similar physique, kind of more so a bowling ball, even though I think Burton's actually a couple inches shorter than Randle. But like whenever Burton was driving to the basket, I was like, oh, look, that's Julius Randle. So that was interesting. And then should we be concerned by Dinwiddie's three-point shot right now? I mean, he's shooting it at 29%, 6.5 attempts per game. That's not good. And, you know, he's the type of guy that needs at least the threat of a three-point shot to set up his drives a lot of times, and doesn't want guys fully going under the screen on him. And I've always thought he's a really good three-point shooter off the catch, especially in those corners. He can be deadly. But I think when he's going off the dribble, sometimes his mechanics get out of whack a little bit. Obviously, shot selection with him can really be something that drags down his percentages because he just takes such low quality shots. So I don't know. I'm not seeing anything in his form that I think structurally looks off, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on, and hopefully he can get that back on track, because he should be more so, I'd say, in the 33 to 35% range. That would definitely be ideal for the Nets, and I think make their offense flow a bit better. But it's been tough because, you know, you have Karis back right now, but Dinwiddie's been used to being a one-man band basically for the last 2 months. So it's helping him integrate another playmaker back in, how he's going to play off that, and really getting used to each other. And, you know, they're not playing a ton of minutes together right now, but hopefully that's going to change starting with Miami and the games moving forward as Karis is able to ramp up to a minute load more so kind of in the 26 to 30 range, I'd say. But looking ahead to the next schedule, I mean, you know, they're on the 7-game losing streak. There's no signs that it's necessarily going to end. You know, they have Miami next on Friday, and then play Atlanta, and then the next 5 games after that are Utah, Philly, Milwaukee, Philly, and the Lakers. So it's very possible that they could go 1-6 in the stretch. And even if they were playing, let's say, the Knicks, the Hawks, which they are, Detroit, which they have January 25th, like, what team in the NBA do you feel for sure confident that the Nets will be right now? Because they lost the Knicks. They lost to a unbelievably depleted Minnesota team. No Towns, no Wiggins, basically no one playing guys off the scrap heap. And they lost to a team led by Naz Reid and Shabazz Napier. They beat the Hawks their last win, but they had to come back from basically down 20 to get that W. Every team in the league right now, the Nets are at a point right now where every team in the league can beat them. There is no one that they could play where they should walk in confident and overconfident and feeling that they can for sure get that win. They have to play to every opponent they have. They can't pretend they're better than anyone else because they're not right now. Their roster doesn't indicate it. Their last few games do not indicate it whatsoever. It's a bad situation. And there is a chance the Nets could fall out of the playoffs. They're currently 2.5 up on Charlotte, 4 in the loss column. But with the way the Nets are playing right now, you know, there's no one that's really going to come and take it from them between Charlotte, Detroit, Wizards, Chicago. But they could play poorly enough, especially if, you know, Kyrie's probably going to be out at least another month. There's a definitive chance, or there's definitely a chance he's out the rest of the season. So now you're relying on Karis to come back and be a big-time playmaker, which is what you paid him for. But he obviously has his concerns with consistency and being injury-prone. You have Dinwiddie, who is very hit or miss and someone who's been great for the Nets and probably an all-star this year. I firmly believe that, but not someone that is kind of infallible from going on a big cold streak like we've seen. So if you're a fan of this team, you have to be worried. Like, who is going to step up and be that consistent third or fourth guy? You're struggling to get consistent minutes from the center position. Jared Allen's struggled. DeAndre Jordan's been up and down. The wings are not what they were thought to be. So right now, the Nets are in a really vulnerable spot. And I have faith that Kenny Atkinson can turn around because I think he's a great player development coach and someone who's okay with X's and O's, overall very good. When you look at his entire ability to coach a basketball team, but he's not Greg Popovich. He's not Brad Stevens. So we'll see. It's definitely going to be an interesting time for the Nets. I'm very curious to see how they respond over these next 2 weeks and 7 games where they have that really tough stretch. If they can go 3-4, that'd be phenomenal. I could definitely see them going 0-7 or 1-6. And then it's talk about, hey, does it make sense to fully try to tank the season and get a nice draft pick, especially with the increased lottery odds for those lower end teams, 10 through 14. And now you're saying we either have another trade chip to potentially throw into the mix to get a third star that fits well with Kyrie and KD, or the ability to draft someone in this year's draft with an upside play and seeing what they can do there. Because remember, if the Nets pick is not in the lottery, if they make the playoffs, it's going to Atlanta. So it will be interesting to see. We'll be covering it all on Locked On Nets, of course. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nets. I am at JM Bass _. Marcus is at Marcus Bearhall. We'll be back in your ear soon. Until next time, be well.